What a blessing it is to be able to share the Word of God on this Father's Day. This is the first Father's Day that I don't have my earthly father with me here, with us here as a family. He is with his heavenly Father. What a blessing. I mean that. What a blessing. Amen? What a blessing. And Dad passed away, as many of you are aware, on December 9th, about 11:30 at night. And we're thankful he is with the Lord after that long battle with Alzheimer's. And just let me say this, if any of you are walking through that with a family member, a close friend, our hearts as a family are with you and our prayers are with you. And, you know, Dad, growing up, said a number of things to me that were very profound. First of all, I'm so thankful that Dad knew the Lord Jesus Christ, accepted the Lord as a young man. They lived in Mission, BC. He was born there and then moved to Lethbridge, but as a young man gave his life to Jesus Christ. And so grateful that Dad knew the Lord Jesus. How many of you here had a father who served the Lord? Lift your hands. Have you thought about how thankful we need to be for parents who knew Christ? How many of you did not have a dad that served the Lord? Lift your hands. How many of you have thanked the Heavenly Father for your father today? Yeah. And sometimes fathers, you know, don't treat their kids the way they should and so on and so forth. But our Heavenly Father has forgiven us, and then we exhibit that forgiveness towards our earthly father. And often, as Becky and I have learned working with people, that's a real journey for a lot of folks. But often, too, what it does is it hinders your relationship with God, who is a father. And for me, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around and my heart around that God is Father. He's Abba. Abba, Father. He's Papa. No matter what's going on in our life, no matter what we've done, we can run to Papa. Everybody say amen. We can come to the Father, our Heavenly Father. The Father is not angry with you. The Father is not angry with you. He poured out, which is something that only the Spirit of God can reveal. He poured out his wrath on his son, Jesus. So you and I could be in relationship with our Heavenly Father. A number of things that I remember so clearly Dad saying to me, and I've shared this before, but some of you are new here, but I remember when he dropped me off at the store, the grocery store, when I was 15 that I'd got a job at. I eventually ended up managing that store. And he was in his truck. I can see it as clear as day. He dropped me off and he said, "Mark, do what they say and keep your mouth shut." That was good advice. That was good advice. In other words, do the job that they're asking you to do. And just do it. And remember when he said to Becky when we got married, oh boy, it's all good. This is about me, honey. He said, "Becky, if Mark takes as good a care as you as he does his cars, you're going to be in fine shape." Now, you have to understand something. I had a little sports car back then, and it was washed, waxed, armored daily. I failed at looking after my cars later on, if you'd have seen how they got. But anyway, honey, I hope I haven't failed trying to look after you. But it's been a task, I can tell you that. Fist pump, honey. We have three kids, and we did our best to raise them and to love them and to guide them. No parent, no father. If you're a father here today, you're not perfect. We don't have perfect kids, although they had perfect parents, just kidding. And we did our best to raise our kids and make the decisions we felt we needed to make to be godly parents and to try and be a godly father. Wasn't always that example in the home. How many know dads, we fail sometimes? Come on. Oh, you cowards. Okay, we're going to open those confessionals back up. We fail at times. Don't beat yourself up. Don't beat yourself up. Love your kids. Sometimes you've got to apologize to them. And I want to say this to dads this morning too, because the message this morning is not just for dads. It's really for all of us, but I want to obviously have the dads listen in well and have men listen in well, but all of us, it's really for all of us. But I want to say this to dads. Couple of things. Your commitment to Christ in the home is absolutely paramount to your kids serving the Lord. It's paramount. They watch you, they hear you, they see your actions, they see how you treat your wife and one another. It's paramount. Your commitment to the local church is also paramount to your kids. Thanks for that thunderous applause. Your commitment to the local church is paramount. Thank you. Because your children see it. And so often what's happened, because we grew up in a generation and a family and parents who taught our generation how to work and how to be very diligent and work very hard, and they worked very hard. And the truth of the matter is, they had to. Or they didn't make ends meet. That was our home. They did not make ends meet. They had to work, and they trusted God. But sometimes what happened is, in those long hours and so on, kids were kind of forgotten. And so we grew up, and our parents didn't spend enough time with us. Oh, stop the crying. Can I hear a big amen? We had good parents. Be thankful. And even if you didn't have a good dad, be thankful for the father that God gave you, and forgive him, and move into the fullness of our Heavenly Father. But here's what often we've done, and something I'm seeing too in a lot of younger parents, and I'm not picking on you, it's an observation, and Pastor Randy's talked about it. We've talked about it as pastors, because we want to encourage you. But things have kind of, the pendulum has swung over to this side. And so because we didn't have this, we buy our kids this. And we didn't have everything. We think we should buy our kids everything. Please stop. Please. And because maybe time wasn't spent with us, we've got to spend all this time with our kids. Yes, family is number one besides the Lord, right? Family. But then what we do is church and the gathering together comes down here. And it's, well, if we don't have anything else on that day, and I'm preaching to the choir because you're all here today, we'll maybe fit the gathering together. Folks, I want to encourage you, and parents and young parents and young dads, the body of Christ is really important. The gathering of the church is really important. Being together in this formality, and it sometimes it seems very formal, but it's important. This is the church. It's the saints. It's the body of Christ. And dads, if you ever needed encouragement today, you need it today. Amen. Becky and I were chuckling this morning. We were watching a teaching this morning, and for some reason, we were talking about the kids and about, you know, the stuff kids have today. Oh, my goodness. They don't even know what to play with. There's so much stuff. And then they've got the electronics and the computer, and Malachi, my 4-year-old grandson, he can operate my iPhone better than I can. It's just, but that's the generation they're being raised in, right? But you've got to put some boundaries around those things. Dads, you've got to put some boundaries around electronics. And we were chatting about how we remember watching our kids play for like a week, and we had just purchased, I think it was a deep freeze, I can't remember, when we lived in BC, and the box was still in the house, down the basement. And we watched our boys, the creativity that came out of them as they built an airplane out of this cardboard box. And the imagination that came out of them, the creativity, the joy, the fun. It was, they were like World War II fighters, right? Flying this airplane out of this cardboard box. Dads, please don't rob your kids of imagination. Don't buy them everything. Thanks for that thunderous applause. Really, don't. Pour into them, spend time with them, but you don't need to buy them everything. You can't buy their love. There's a side of me that thinks we are. And just the whole thing with church, we so are encouraged as pastors when you're here. We're encouraged when you're here. And we love you. And we want to help you. And we didn't do everything right. But we just want to encourage you as dads today. And I want to say this. You are doing a good job. Amen. 1 John 3:1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Have you thought this morning that you're a child of God? You're not an adult of God. You're a child of God. You'll never be an adult of God. You will always be a child of God. Because the Father has lavished, poured out His love on us. Wasn't our decision, it was His decision. This morning, I'm going to have 4 points on the heart. My message title is called The Heart of the Matter. The heart is that area of the human conscience that is the seat of our emotions, our thought processes, our values, the place that we draw our method of operation. So sometimes when you've been raised a particular time, often you follow that. And if you were raised in a home that was somewhat abusive, that has to be broken. Okay, you have to sever that generational curse off. You have to break that in Jesus' name and move into that which is more right, the way God wants us to live towards, thinking about our earthly fathers and our heavenly fathers, and you forgive your dad. How many of you went to the movie The Shack? There's a few of you. All right. A lot of controversy over that show. It was an amazing movie. One of the scenes to me that was so riveting, if you watched it, was the scene where the son was somewhat introduced to his father that had passed away. How many of you remember that? And the Holy Spirit, or the Lord, whoever, was saying to him, do you realize, he was kind of having like a flashback of how badly his own father had been abused and how badly his father had been beaten. And this stuff had come out of his father directed towards him. And what it created was this amazing moment of a wow moment through the Lord, and a time that I have to forgive my father. When we forgive, it opens things up to the work of the Holy Spirit. You can argue right, wrong, or indifferent what your thoughts are about the movie. The truth of the matter is that's a very powerful moment in the movie. And so none of us here were raised with perfect dads. None of us here. But let's be thankful for the fathers that God did give us, even if in some cases it was difficult or they abandoned the home, whatever happened. And find a way through the power of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the forgiveness of Christ, ask Him. And even if you've not forgiven your dad, I'm not going to tell you, you must forgive. Here's what I want to say to you. If you've not forgiven your dad, ask the Lord Jesus to journey you into a place of forgiveness. Walk it out. He knows where you're at. He knows the difficulty you've had. But ask Him, Father God, Christ, you have forgiven me. By the power of the Spirit, I'm going to journey. And I'm going to journey. And I'm going to journey. And if I have to forgive my dad over and over and over daily, Father, you're going to give me the strength, and it's going to free me. Proverbs 4:23. Let's turn there. If you have your Bibles, Proverbs 4:23. We're going to start at verse 20. It says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart." Keep them within your heart. "For they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body." How many would like a healthy body today? The word of God is medicine, right? It's health to our body. Verse 23, the first point is guard your heart above all else. In other words, make this the most important thing that you do. This is for all of us. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. "For it is the wellspring of life," or other translations say, "for out of it flow the issues of life." What does it mean to guard your heart? When people have been wounded by someone of great significance in their life, they naturally put a guard up around their heart. That is normal. That's called self-preservation. It is survival. Unfortunately, what we begin to do also, though, is we don't let the Heavenly Father into those areas of our life because they're painful, they hurt, and subconsciously, we're not even allowing God into that area of our heart or of our life. We've seen this so many times with people, and we've all done it. We have all done it. If we have been wounded in some way, shape, or form, we naturally, and a tendency is fight or flight, right? That's normal. But we will put a wrong guard around our heart, and when we do, we don't let the Spirit of the Lord in to bring healing to that area of our lives. This guard, your heart, is like a fortress. Solomon saying, put a fortress around your heart and don't let the things into your heart that should not be allowed into your heart. Bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, those are those things. But also the things that you're watching, the things you're viewing, the things you're casting your eyes upon. Let's go to Matthew 6, 22 to 23. I'm going to go through these scriptures really fast today. Matthew 6, 22 to 23. Verse 22. I'll just wait if you're turning. It says, the eye is the lamp of the body. The eye, not eyes, the eye. Because when you look with your eyes, there's a single focus. You don't have one eye going here and one eye going here. The eye, the vision, visual. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, what you're casting your eyes upon, your whole body will be full of light. 23, but if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Men, ladies, guard your heart. Guard what you are casting your eyes upon. And for men, we know what we often cast our eyes upon. I'll just say it. We're all adults. It's good-looking women. Sister Sharon, that's true. Just want to let you know. I had a board member in my first church in Empress. He says, God put women in great packages. Oh, relax. It's church. It's okay. And we all said, amen. He built guys as visual. All right? That's how God built us. Sin crept in, and then, all right, the enemy twisted that beautiful sexual union that is supposed to happen in the marriage bed, all right? And he twisted it and he's perverting it. And look at the perversion our culture is being inundated with. And dads, your kid's got an iPhone, you better have a lock on that somehow. We didn't grow up with iPhones. We grew up with computers, raising our kids with computers, And later on in life, they told us how they got into some stuff and we weren't keeping a good eye on things. But dads, you've got to protect your kids from this stuff. What they're feasting their eyes upon, what you're feasting your eyes upon. And every thought needs to be taken captive to the obedience of Christ. There isn't a man in here, if he's honest, men, that hasn't battled with lust. Let's be honest. This is church. This is where we got to talk about this stuff. We've all battled that fight. We've battled it. But let me say this to you today, man. We're more than conquerors in Christ. And ladies, don't get all upset and think that men are a bunch of sex maniacs and perverts. It's true. You've got your own stuff. But men, this is so important. The eyes, and they fill the soul and that stuff. And it can become, and ultimately it will control you and become bondage. Fathers, be careful what you're watching. Guard your heart. Guard what you let in. Work on your thinking. Hear that. Work on your thinking. Working on your thinking is the Bible, the Word of God. For we have the mind of Christ, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Right? Work on your thinking. It's funny. I'm reading a book right now called The 15th Club. That's a golf club. In a tournament, if you've watched any of the U.S. Open this weekend, on the PGA Tour, you can only have 14 clubs in your bag in every tournament. That's all you can have. You're limited to 14 clubs. If you have a 15th club, you're disqualified. Okay? So you can only have 14 clubs. The book, The 15th Club, is talking about our minds. I'm reading it because it's not just a golf book. It's a life book. Isn't it funny? And he writes this in this book. He said, when golfers are on the practice range and they're practicing their technique, they're practicing their tempo, they're practicing their short game, they're practicing their putting game, they're spending hours tailoring their swing. But if a golfer says, well, I'm not spending that much time doing that anymore, I've got that down, but right now I'm working on my thinking, everybody would look at him and say, what are you talking about? It takes great thinking to win championships, folks. And it takes great thinking to be great dads. It really does. And a lot of us have received some really poor thinking. And we've received some of that in church. But we have no excuse. It is our responsibility to work on our thinking, to change our thinking, to guard our hearts, to empty out of our hearts what shouldn't be there, to place in our hearts what needs to be there, and to speak out of our mouths. And that's my next point, to speak life. Can we go to principle two quickly? Fill your heart. Fill your heart. Matthew 12, 33 to 35. It says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. Dads, what fruit are we showing our kids? You brood of vipers, that's not pointed at you dads today. He's speaking to a crowd of Pharisees here. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. What we're putting in will come out. Our kids are within earshot, and they hear those things. They hear them. Out of the overflow, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Philippians 4:8. Let's go there. So if you had a father that was not very good to you, dads, and you continually say, I'm just following in my father's footsteps, stop. I am a good father. Okay, every dad that's here, I am a good father. Say it together. I am a good father. Say it again. I am a good father. Okay? Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true. This comes right back to guarding our hearts. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Praise your kids. Catch them doing something good. Catch them doing something good. Because in their minds, they think you only catch them when they're doing something wrong. Catch them doing something good. Praise them. Encourage them. Don't, as the scripture says, exasperate them. Tear them down. Cut them down. Lift them up. Praise your children. You say, well, I never got praised. Okay, sever that off. Grow. Get help. Get in the Word. Get beside a father who's a good father and let him mentor you. And ask him, what did you do? Help me. I want to be a better dad. If we could have a revival, which we're praying for, let's start in the home. Let's start with dads. Let's start with men. Thank you for the thunderous applause this morning. I'm going to go to this side. Let's start with men. Thank you. Oh, that's pretty quiet too. Let's start with men. Boy, you guys must have been partying or something last night because, oh my goodness. Fill your heart with what? Love. That's a journey, man. And understand that Father God does not have love. The very essence of Father God is love, men. And men, when you discover that and you understand, and you know, we're guys, I used to really struggle, oh, big time with this whole world, this word, being intimate with Christ. That just was like, no, I'm a guy, he's a guy. Seriously, I struggled with that. Like, are you serious? You want to know why? Because I had a warped view of sexuality. That's Western culture, and that's me. And when I understood what that meant, it changed a lot of the things that I did, the way I preached, having an intimate relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, it changes things, guys. We've got a warped view of the word intimacy in this culture because being inundated with sexuality, cosmopolitan. You go to a superstore and you see what's on the front of those covers and all it is sex. It's true. We got a warped view of this. This is just damaging our culture. It's time for us, the body of Christ, to change that, to have a different voice, to be the voice in society, to be the voice of love in culture, to say this is the way we should go. In this culture, wrong is right, and right is wrong. It's upside down, but we shouldn't be upside down, right? We should not be upside down. That was not in my notes. I have no clue where I'm at. Principle 3, pour out your heart. Go to Romans 5. Pour out your heart. Verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, what a verse. Justified. It's as if We've never done it. It's as if we've never sinned. We can stand before God because of Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Here's verse 5. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. God has poured out his love by the Spirit. He has poured it out. If you are struggling today, every one of you, not just dads, any one of you, pour out your heart before God. He knows what's in it anyway. Pour it out before him. Isaiah says, come, let us reason together. I reason with God every day. That's the truth. We talk. We have time together. I get frustrated with him. He gives me grace. He doesn't get frustrated with me. Isn't that amazing? Oh, I know what you're thinking. Oh, yes, he does. No, he does not. Pour out your heart before God. I messed up. Pour it out. He waits for us to pour out our heart. And he loves it when we do. That is intimacy. That is relationship. That is not a fear of a God that's going to hit us. It's the love of a father saying, come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. We watched such a great teaching this week on resting in the finished work of Christ. Resting. Hebrews 4, just rest in what Christ has done. And that passage is very much about that you cannot earn your salvation. It was paid for by Jesus. But it's also resting in some of the things that men, we don't have control over, that God has it. And rest, have a tempo of rest in your life. He's got it. Rest in him and rest in his plans. I don't know his plans. It's okay. Pour out your heart to him. Sometimes he doesn't answer. Anybody like me? Sometimes I'm not hearing you. Anybody like me? Don't be. But seriously, anybody say that to God lately? I'm not hearing you. That's where faith comes in. We walk by faith, not by sight. That's where faith comes in. Folks, the Father, the Heavenly Father, has got every situation you're going through. Rest in him. Every thought, before you even think it, he knows. Every worry, and we're told not to worry, but if we're truthful today, at times we worry. Every one of those things, he's got. The Father has got it. Rest in the finished work of Christ. Rest in what he's done. Rest that he's got it. He's got it. Pour out your heart. And sometimes there's times where you got to pour out your heart a little bit, yeah, to your kids sometimes. Daddy is sorry. I messed up. Nothing will turn the spirit of rebellion in a child more than a dad who says sorry. It breaks the spirit of rebellion in kids. It's a true story, because it's forgiveness. Rebellion does not have a place to stand in that atmosphere. Now, your kids still have a choice. Rebellion has no power. And it opens the door to many powerful things. Don't be ashamed. Pour out your heart. Pour out your heart before God. Let's go to Ephesians 1, 7 to 8. And then very quickly we'll go to principle 4. Verse 7, in him, that's in Christ, we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, verse 9, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Living in the fullness of Christ. Journeying into the fullness of Christ. Men, one of the greatest things you can do for your family is spend time in the Word of God every day. Spend time with Jesus. Spend time in the Word. I'm not telling you when the best time is. You have to find that time. There are 24 hours in a day. You can find 30 minutes. I encourage you to do that. You can find that time. Find that time to spend with God. You're going to do yourself amazing good things, and it's going to be great for your family. And I've said this before. I've confessed this before. I'll confess it again. Doesn't need to be. It's all been healed up. But it took years for Becky and I to learn to pray together. Dumb. Oh, you can say amen. Amen. Not smart. Nope. Took years. I could say it was her fault, but I'd be lying. Men, lead your home in that. Come on, dads. Men, lead your home. Come on, men. Say amen. This is not a guilt session. There is no condemnation. This is an encouragement session. Even if you're not doing it, try and start. Once a week, schedule a time. The kids to bed, start. Well, we got to do it every day. I just said start. Just try and start. Watch what it'll do for your marriage and your family. Do you know what? I believe there's such a great power and authority when a husband and wife take hands and declare the praises of God, the power of God, the blessing of God, the anointing of God. I tell you what, that power. What do I do if I'm not married? You take the hand of God. Prophetically take the hand of the Father, who is, the scripture says, ladies, your husband. Okay? Take his hand. Stand there like this. Take his hand. But on earth, when we have each other, you take each other's hands. And boy, oh boy, and once in a while, let your kids catch you doing something good. Amen. Oh yeah. They'll see that. Last but not least, yield your heart. Matthew 16. Sharon, would you come to the piano? Matthew 16. Would you stand? Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Huge. Wow. What a command. Can only do it through the power of Christ. And I would say I often fail sometimes during the day I don't even think about it, to be honest with you. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Fathers, let me ask you a question. And we've all got to go out and we all have to make a living. And God put that in us to be the suppliers, but God ultimately is our source. We've got to make a living. We've got to do that. But what if we're chasing all these other things? What good is it going to be at the end of the day if we gain a whole pile of riches And it's not wrong to be rich. It's how we attain that. But what good is it going to be if we gain that and we lose our own soul or we lose our family? And I say that as a shepherd, because I often put the church before my family. That is wrong. It's the truth. That's not right. Gotta work, but here's what I'm learning to do, guys. More and more. This is a true story. I'm a slow learner, but I'm getting there. I'm learning. I'm learning to step it out with the Holy Spirit. Right, Pastor Larry? We're talking about this more and more. We're stepping things out with the Holy Spirit. Men, learn to step it out with the Spirit. Rest in His work. Dads, rest. Rest. Let the Spirit guide you. Let Him work within you. If you're struggling in your marriage and you've done something wrong, get on your knees before your wife and ask her forgiveness. And pour out your heart before God. And I just encourage you guys, men, you're good dads. In the depth of your heart, you long to be a better dad. We all do. And we have the Father, the Heavenly Father, as an example, who gave us richly all things, most importantly, His Son, Jesus. You're good dads. My prayer is that in this generation, that the spirit of Elijah would just be poured out again to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. We have a lot of young men in our lives that don't have a dad. And men, some of you don't have children. I've said this over and over and over, and you need to find a young man that you could mentor. You really do, to be a dad to. Well, I've never had kids. Oh, well, God will show you how. We need a bunch of spiritual dads, right, church? There's going to be a lot of orphans that are out there that need spiritual moms and dads because of what's going on in the culture. Don't get angry at the culture. Get upset when the church isn't doing what the church is supposed to do. And pray for the church. And don't criticize the church. It's His bride. Lift the church up so we can become that example of what God's called us to be. Can I hear a big amen? Don't criticize the church. That just shows your condition of your heart. No, encourage one another. All right, every head bowed. All right, dads, I want you to lift your hands to the Lord. All the dads, lift your hands to the Lord. Father, thank You for dads today. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for dads. Thank You for my earthly father, Lord. Thank You, Father, for His example. Thank You that He, Father, served You and we saw it. And Dad, my dad wasn't perfect, but he was a great dad. Thank You for him. So dads, let's thank our Father for our dads, even if it was abusive. Why don't you thank Him today for your dad? We thank You for our dads.